We begin in Yemen this morning. Mired in poverty, hamstrung by tribal rivalries, and armed to the teeth, Yemen is a political tinderbox that looks to be fully in flames this week. The U.S. yesterday told all non-essential personnel to leave Yemen immediately, and there are pictures and reports of lines of Yemeni civilians snaking their way out of Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, to escape the latest fighting. But Sana'a is by no means the only theater of political unrest inside Yemen, which has been full of dissident conflict and tribal conflict for weeks now. Joining us live from Sana'a again is Hakim Al-Masmari, who's the editor of the Yemen Post. Good morning once again, Hakim. We can barely hear you there. We also are speaking with Robert Wirth, who's a staff writer for the New York Times Magazine. He's speaking to us from Washington and is in the byline for the New York Times story on Yemen this morning. Good morning, Robert Wirth.
Good morning.
Robert, can you break down for us this sense of tribal rivalry and the both defection and now what appears to be some sort of open conflict between tribal leaders inside Yemen and the president, Ali Saleh?
Sure. Yeah. The key figure here is Hamid al-Ahmar, who is a member of the Ahmar clan. His father was really the most important leader of the Yemeni tribes. He died several years ago, and he was an ally of President Saleh. When he died, his 10 sons, were no longer the unified force that the father had been, and it became pretty clear that Saleh was going to have rivalries from them. And Hamid, as I say, he's a billionaire telecom businessman, and he's been very critical of the president for years. In a way, this confrontation has been coming for some time. The WikiLeaks documents indicated that that Hamid al-Ahmar, a couple of years ago, had gone to American diplomats and proposed the idea of trying to foment some kind of popular revolution against Saleh. Now, in fact, the uprising that broke out was not at all fomented by Hamid. It was a popular uprising, but Hamid has tried to jump on board and take advantage of it.
Interesting. So the popular opposition has really been an opportunity for the Hamid tribe to express a longstanding dispute with the president, Ali Saleh. We go back now to Sana'a for a moment. Hakim Al-Masmari, who's the editor of the Yemen Post. Hakim, we understand that two members of the clergy may have been killed this morning in the latest unrest. What can you tell us about that?
I called the head of office for Sheikh Sadiq Ahmar, the head of the Hashid tribe. And we asked him the same question. He confirmed to us that none of the Ahmar sons have been killed or arrested by the government. According to him, these are all accusations that the government are trying to play as a media game to hurt the Ahmar camp and cause more chaos within it. And until now, we cannot confirm it until the government talks, because no government official has officially talked that they have arrested or have in custody the two sons of Sheikh Abdullah Ahmar.
Hakim Al-Masmari, you've predicted on this program a number of times that the government is on the verge of falling and that Saleh has to go and that this may be done in a matter of days, if not weeks. How has President Saleh managed to hold on?
First of all, Saleh managed to hold on over the last 3 months because the protests in Yemen have been peaceful. And the protesters were demanding peaceful change and no violence take place, though that hundreds of protesters were killed. Today, the crisis in Yemen escalates because finally, a side in Yemen using force against Saleh. When force was being used or is being used now against President Saleh, the international community has now intervened. We've seen the U.S. government, the French government, the British government are demanding Saleh to step down immediately. And today, early morning, the Turkish government demanded Saleh to step down immediately. So the more crises that take place, the more pressure that is being put on President Saleh, unlike the past, when less pressure because there was less violence
right.
And more
that. Pressure rising, according to Hakim Al-Masmari, editor of the Yemen Post, live from Sana'a. Robert Wirth, so the U.S. has declared that all non-essential personnel should leave Yemen immediately. Does this signal that the international pressure is possibly having an effect? Does it signal that the chaos is getting completely out of control? What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, it's an indication clearly that the situation on the street in Sana'a is much more dangerous now. I mean, there's one whole neighborhood where the Ahmar clan's main house is that has become a war zone. And not just that, I mean, there are armed tribes in other parts of the capital. It's gotten pretty dicey in a place that has always been somewhat dangerous. So I think that's one concern. And then you've seen this real kind of amazing shift. You know, Ali Abdullah Saleh has been an important ally for the U.S. government on counterterrorism, but they've become convinced that him staying in power, despite all these demonstrations and despite the demands of, you know, regional countries like Saudi Arabia that he start a power transition, has created a real sense of instability. I mean, you know, there's so much opposition to him that you've got several outlying provinces that are completely outside of the government's control, and American officials are really worried that this is allowing al-Qaeda to operate much more freely. So they're really concerned about this, and they've now, you know, they've gone from sort of asking him to do this to now talking about, you know, pressuring him to possibly through United Nations sanctions on him and his family.
Does the Saudi government have the most cards to play here? Could they actually name a successor?
They do have enormous pressure that they could put on him. It's unclear to me exactly what they're doing so far. On the one hand, the Saudis do not want to see, you know, a popular revolution succeed. They're concerned about that. They'd like to see a much more ordered kind of transition than you saw in Egypt and Tunisia. They want to make sure that Saleh and any other Arab leader, you know, leaves with what they see as, you know, the requisite dignity. But at the same time, they have the same concerns as the U.S. does about security, and they don't want to see Yemen collapse into a failed state.
And, of course, it's being called a war zone. Sana'a is, by international journalists, the idea of a failed state, certainly visually powerful in the pictures coming out of Yemen, at least this week. That's Robert Wirth, who's a staff writer for the New York Times Magazine, talking about the situation in Yemen. He's on the byline. He's one of the co-writers of the piece in the New York Times today on the situation in Yemen. We also spoke live with Hakeem Al-Masmari, who's the editor of the Yemen Post. Just recapping, it's believed that 100 people have died in the civilian and military unrest inside Yemen just this week alone. The open battles between tribal leaders and military and militias associated with various factions in the government. Is it a game changer in Yemen? We'll just have to see.